Hypertension, the silent killer. Basically, a bitch ass, sneaky serial killer that takes all the things that you love, like fucking cheeseburgers, and kills you with it. It's also just known as high blood pressure. It's very, very common, and there are five categories: normal, elevated, stage one, stage two, and hypertensive crisis. So, blood pressure is normal when the systolic blood pressure is more than 90 but less than 120, and the diastolic blood pressure is more than 60 but less than 80. When the systolic blood pressure climbs to between 120 and 129, and the diastolic is less than 80, the blood pressure is said to be elevated. Stage 1 hypertension is between 130 and 139 on the systolic side, and between 80 and 89 on the diastolic side. Stage 2 hypertension is defined as anything that is 140 or higher on the systolic side, and 90 or higher on the diastolic side. Hypertensive crisis is present when the systolic blood pressure is over 180 or the diastolic blood pressure is over 120. There are also two types. So there's primary hypertension, which is about 90% of all hypertension, and that comes from no underlying cause. And then secondary hypertension is very uncommon, and that's basically if it's been caused by something else, like a kidney disease or a dysfunctional disorder. So many people with hypertension probably do not have any symptoms, and that's why it's known as the silent killer. In some cases, it can cause damage to blood pressure or blood vessels in the heart, brain, kidneys, eyes, reproductive organs, and peripheral arteries, which can cause things like headache, dizziness, vision changes, and chest pain. The factors that make people at risk, this is primary hypertension, are older age, being male, having a family history of hypertension, having diabetes mellitus, and also African American and Hispanic ethnicity causes an increased risk. And these are all non-modifiable factors. Modifiable risk factors include being sedentary, obesity, smoking, and having excess sodium and alcohol consumption, as well as stress. Secondary hypertension is the elevated blood pressure with a specific cause, and it's usually developed quickly and is severe. The causes include cirrhosis, drug-related, endocrine disorders, renal disease, and sleep apnea. Diagnosis of hypertension will depend on blood pressure measurement, and it has to be on two different occasions. And we will also be assessing fasting blood sugar, urinalysis, BNP with eGFR and creatinine, CBC, lipids profile, and a 12-lead ECG. Clinical management of hypertension will be with the goal of achieving and maintaining a goal blood pressure and reducing cardiovascular risk and the damage to the organs. So the American Heart Association has Simple 7: manage blood pressure and cholesterol, reduce blood sugar, get active, eat better, lose weight, and stop smoking. Drugs that can be used to manage hypertension include diuretics, which is going to decrease the blood volume, anti-adrenergic blockers, inhibitors of the RAS system, calcium channel blockers, and direct vasodilators. Stage 1 hypertension, and remember that is systolic 130 to 139 or diastolic 80 to 89. We will be doing non-pharmacologic treatment, so lifestyle modifications, diet, exercise. One first-line drug, which is going to be a thiazide diuretic, calcium channel blocker, ACE inhibitor, or ARB. So this is a really important part. The four primary drug classes to treat hypertension include thiazide diuretics, such as hydrochlorothiazide, angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, also called ACE inhibitors, like lisinopril or any pril, angiotensin II receptor blockers, also called ARBs, such as losartan or other sartans, and calcium channel blockers or CCBs like amlodipine. I just want to take a small detour to go into these drugs. So thiazide diuretics, hydrochlorothiazide is used to manage hypertension and edema, and they are oral use diuretics. Adverse effects include electrolyte depletion, dehydration, weakness, hypotension, renal impairment, and hypersensitivities. The nursing considerations are going to be assess the blood pressure, monitor the electrolytes, especially potassium, promote a potassium-rich diet, assess renal function, assess for dehydration, assess intake and output, and monitor weight. Very important with diuretics, monitor weight. And then patient teaching, patients should be instructed to take it at the same time each day and notify their healthcare provider if they experience significant changes in weight. Thiazide diuretics may also cause orthostatic changes, so change positions slowly. Some patients might have photosensitivity, so sunblock and protective clothing is important. Also, the patients should be monitoring their blood pressure and complying with lifestyle interventions to reduce hypertension. And you'll want to teach them how to properly take blood pressure. And that's for any of the hypertensive medications. Lisinopril is our ACE inhibitor medication. It's for management of hypertension, as well as heart failure and angina. It blocks the conversion of angiotensin 1 to the vasoconstrictor angiotensin 2, and the net result is systemic vasodilation and lowered blood pressure. The adverse effects can be hypotension, dizziness, cough, and the serious one is angioedema. ACE inhibitors are not for people who are pregnant. Use caution with people who have diabetes and avoid using with other medications that increase potassium. People also need to avoid salt substitutes because many have potassium. ACE inhibitors cause a cough that can be persistent throughout the duration of the medication therapy. Losartan is the ARB, or angiotensin 2 receptor antagonist blocker. This is for management of hypertension, also diabetic nephropathy in type 2 diabetics, and prevention of stroke. It blocks the vasoconstrictor and aldosterone-secreting effects of angiotensin 2 at various receptor sites. It lowers the blood pressure. Adverse effects include diarrhea, angioedema is the serious again, hypotension, hypoglycemia, dizziness, drowsiness, headache, hyperkalemia. Pre-administration of an ARB, you will do pregnancy test, vitals, EKG, CBC, urinalysis, sodium, and potassium. Again, this is not for people who are pregnant. Also, again, salt substitutes should be limited. They contain potassium. Anything that can contribute to hyperkalemia is to be avoided. Slow position changes. Diltiazem is going to be our calcium channel blockers. It's for treating hypertension. Also, angina pectoris, coronary artery spasm, and arrhythmias. It blocks calcium entry into the cells of the vascular smooth muscle and myocardium. It dilates coronary arteries and inhibits spasms. It also decreases AV nodal conduction. Adverse effects of diltiazem include hypotension and peripheral edema, and a serious side effect is Stevens-Johnson syndrome. We will monitor blood pressure and pulse prior to administration and periodically, monitor EKG, monitor inputs and outputs and daily weight, assess for signs of heart failure, peripheral edema, rails and crackles, dyspnea, weight gain, jugular vein distension. The patient teaching will be taught to continue taking the medication even if they're feeling better. Caution them about standing slowly to minimize orthostatic hypotension, and emphasize follow-up exams to monitor their progress. And also, as with all hypertension, we want to encourage lifestyle changes, smoking cessation, exercise, losing weight, all of those modifiable risk factors. So to recap, for first-line therapy for stage 1 hypertension, it's going to be non-pharmacologic treatment combined with one first-line drug. So one of the following: thiazide diuretic, calcium channel blocker, ACE inhibitor, or ARB. Okay, stage 2 is also going to combine non-pharmacologic treatment with two antihypertensives from different classifications. So it'll have a diuretic and a CCB, or a diuretic and an ACE inhibitor, or whatever. The diuretics can be prescribed alone or in combination. So thiazide diuretics, loop diuretics, and potassium-sparing diuretics are the three types. Thiazide diuretics reduce blood volume and reduce arterial resistance. Loop diuretics have a greater diuretic effect. They also reduce the blood volume and promote vasodilation. Our loop diuretic is furosemide. Potassium-sparing diuretics have the side effect of hyperkalemia, so watch that potassium. And that one is spironolactone. The next class is anti-adrenergic drugs. And these suppress the influence of the sympathetic nervous system on the heart, blood vessels, and other structures. These are very common, and there are 5 different categories: beta blockers, alpha blockers, alpha and beta blockers combined, centrally acting alpha agonists, and adrenergic neuron blockers. So that's the 5 types of anti-adrenergic drugs. So the three that are in our unit here are going to be beta adrenergic blockers, and they all end in lol, and ours is metoprolol. Metoprolol is commonly used to treat high blood pressure, chest pain, and as an early intervention during a myocardial infarction, and also in several heart conditions that involve tachycardia. So always check the apical pulse before giving metoprolol. Withhold the drug and call the prescriber immediately if the heart rate is slower than 60 beats per minute. In diabetic patients, monitor the glucose level closely because metoprolol masks common signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia. The most serious adverse effects of metoprolol are shortness of breath, bradycardia, and a worsening heart failure. Other adverse effects include fatigue, dizziness, depression, insomnia, nightmares, GI upset, erectile dysfunction, dyspnea, and wheezing. This drug should not be stopped abruptly. It should be tapered over 1 to 2 weeks because abrupt discontinuation may cause chest pain or myocardial infarction. Patients should be instructed to take their medication as prescribed and warned about abrupt cessation. They should also be taught how to self-check their pulse and blood pressure. Also cautioned against sudden position changes due to orthostatic blood pressure changes, and they may also experience increased sensitivity to cold and should be cautioned to avoid caffeinated substances.